Today I started loving you again. I'm right back where I've really always been. I got over you just long enough to let my heartache mend. Then today I started loving you again. What a fool I was to think I could get by with only these few million tears I cried. I should have known the worst was yet to come, and that crying time for me had just begun. 'Cause today I started loving you again. I'm right back where I've really always been. I got over you just long enough to let my heartache mend. Then today, I started loving you again.
The President's Justice Department sold weapons to narco-terrorists south of our border who killed one of our finest. The President's State Department lied about Benghazi with false information provided by the White House. The President's Attorney General authorized spying on a Fox News journalist and his family for reporting on a North Korean nuclear test. The President's Justice Department confiscated phone records of the Associated Press because they reported on a thwarted terrorist attack. The President's Treasury Department uses the IRS to target political opposition. The President's Health and Human Services Secretary pressures the insurance companies she is supposed to regulate to promote Obamacare, which is the same law she uses to force citizens to pay for abortion-inducing drugs against their religious liberties. Mr. Speaker, the President's dishonesty, incompetence, vengefulness, and lack of moral compass lead many to suggest that he is not fit to lead. The only problem is that his vice president is equally unfit and even more embarrassing.
And it's time for the Shooting Bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany, this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. You need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are the storm.
And welcome to the Shooting Bench. It is the 19th of October, and the month is flying by here. And it's a, what is tonight? It's Wednesday. All right, we're going to have some gun stuff here a little bit later on. But I assume at least some of you watched the debate. I know some refused to. It's mind-boggling to me the number of people that just won't watch it. This is the single most important election in any of our lifetimes, probably in the history of America since George Washington. And I know it's aggravating, It's it ticks me off. They sit there and argue and talk over each other and all that, but that's the nature of the beast. We just kind of have to overlook that and kind of try to stand it and wait till they restore order there and carry on. But I think another argument as well. I've already got my mind made up. I know who I'm voting for. It doesn't matter if I watch the debate. I don't care. Okay, I get that. I understand that's a deal for some of you. But I think that in these final days before the election... By the way, before I go farther here, I guess Snowman said hello, so I guess we got sound going there. In the final days here before the election, I think it's... Even if you've got your mind made up one way or the other, I think it's good to see how both candidates... Peanut Rider, he stomped her hard. I think it's good to see both candidates, what their stands are on different things, especially here towards the end, to see if there's been any changes or whatnot. And yeah, I believe absolutely beyond any question. I don't see how it could be any other way. I don't see how, of course, I guess that Hillary's supporters are going to say that she won. I don't see how. I don't know how you could make up, how you could possibly, it just makes you appear stupid to support someone who failed so miserably in this debate. I would have liked to seen, as the same as the last debate, I didn't watch the last one, but I watched the first one. Radio doc. I don't understand. I didn't see anything written or hear anything that said that the media gave the win to Hillary. But I turned it off right after because I had to hustle in here and get ready for the show. So I didn't hear what was said afterwards. But. I think it helps us to hear those stands, to be able to talk to other people, talk to your friends who are maybe sitting on the fence. My friends are not sitting on the fence, because if I have friends sitting on the fence between Hillary and Trump, you know, that friendship's going to be strained pretty hard, pretty quick. I am done. I have no desire to continue to try to appease people or babysit. I just don't. If they've got an honest question, you know, if they come out and say, look, I don't know, help me out. Why would I want to vote for Trump? Why don't I want to vote for Hillary? Okay, well let's look at the issues here, and then go ahead and lay it out and say, okay, now make up your own mind. If you say Hillary, then get your crap and get out of my house. But you know, if you still haven't made up your mind or you decide not to vote or something like that, I may not agree with you, but whatever. But I'm absolutely done for anybody that might vote that direction. But there were some interesting things that were brought up for those of you that might have watched it. Trump was exceedingly strong on the Second Amendment. He is stronger than anybody that I have ever seen on the Second Amendment. He, no limits, no restrictions, no assault weapons, nothing. He was all about, 100%. He was, unless I missed something there, he seemed to be as much in line with, as I am. And Hillary, of course, what a lying witch she is. Oh, I've always been a big supporter of the Second Amendment, but, that's where you stop right there. It don't matter what comes after the but. It's when they say, well, I'm all for the Constitution, I'm all for this, I'm all for that right, I'm all for that. But, no, there's no buts. You either are or you're not. There's no but. And of course, she says, well, I'm all for, reasonable restrictions and close the online loophole. Folks, there is no online loophole. It does not exist. There is no such thing. You can, if someone decides to, a loophole would imply that there's some way to legally get around the law. There is no legal way to do that. Now, you can, if you can get away with it, you can just box up a gun and send it to somebody in Arkansas. And if nobody catches you, then that's fine. If you get caught, it's a federal felony. If you hand carry that gun to Arkansas, now you can do that as long as you take it to a dealer and make the trade there. If you hand carry that gun to Arkansas and give it to someone, or sell it to someone, it's a federal felony. There is no online loophole. If you sell a gun online, it has to go to a dealer unless you are in your own state. If you're selling it within the state. And some states may have laws against that. But most of our western states here, at least, and a lot of the eastern states as well, if you sell a gun to someone here in state, you can, that's perfectly legal. It is legal to ship a long gun to someone here in state. You can even do it by postal service. A lot of times you have to argue with them, but it is legal. If you want to sell a handgun, you have to, UPS won't deliver it to an individual. By law, you cannot ship a handgun by mail. You cannot ship a handgun, you could ship it to an individual, but UPS or FedEx will not do that. By federal law, you are supposed to tell them that it contains a firearm. Once you tell them that, they are going to make you go to a dealer. Whether it's legal or not, it doesn't make any difference. So there is no legal way, there's no loophole on the online sales. And what Hillary said about there being 33 deaths a year contributed to guns, she is absolutely right. However, over half of those deaths are suicides. Restricting guns is not going to reduce the amount of suicides. If somebody wants to kill themselves, they'll figure out how to do it. I tell you, there was a... I won't tell you how she's related, but there was a... someone who is loosely related by marriage to me that was just found dead a few days ago. And how she killed herself was to tie weights to her feet and dump a kayak over in the middle of Lake Mead. And she finally decomposed enough and slipped out of her things that were holding her down. She bloated and floated to the top and floated into shore, and that's how they found her. So it doesn't matter. So that has nothing to do with gun control. There's going to be, and a lot of these other deaths by gun are police shootings. A lot of them are youth and gangsters and whatnot killing each other with guns that are already illegal and already covered by dozens of different laws, state, federal, and local in many cases. So, you know, that out of that 33,000. So if we wanted to make this halfway realistic, what we need to see is how many people who are legally allowed to own guns have murdered people, how many accidental shootings there have been, and those, you know, you could argue that some type of restriction may reduce those a little bit, yet to be seen. It hasn't worked in Chicago, as Donald Trump brought up. He said, look at Chicago. There's some of the most restrictive laws in the country and the highest rate of violent deaths in the country. So I think he did really well on the Second Amendment. And then there was, what did he say? Hold on, I have something here I must look at real quick. Stand by. Matter of fact, while we're standing by for just a second, let's listen to Connie Smith. I'll be right back.
When you found somebody new, I thought I never would forget you, for I thought then I never could. But time has taken
from way back when. Yeah, hold on here, we're going to get interrupted. Okay, I got it. All right, I think we got all that squared away. So anyway, Hillary failed so bad on the Second Amendment stuff. But the next big deal they talked about, I don't know if it was the next one, what order they came in, was abortions and pro-life, right to life and whatnot. And Hillary failed miserably. If there was one issue that would sway your vote, even if you're not a gun owner, you're not going to, you don't care one way or the other how they vote on guns, it doesn't matter to you, which I don't understand. But if there was one issue that should sway your vote completely, that would be this issue on abortion. She was absolutely, without shame, without hesitation, all about women's right to life, or women's right to whatever in the hell you call it, women's rights, but women's right to do whatever they want with their body. And never once did she mention or allude to the fact that these fetuses were living organisms, that were living human beings. And never mentioned it once. Trump, on the other hand, said, he intends to put in Supreme Court justices who are strong on the Second Amendment, who are pro-life. And he was short and to the point and said, you know, that's the way it is. He was very much opposed to the abortion thing. So that was another deal that I think gave him some points. Hang on a minute, I'm trying to get my cotton picking deal working here. What the heck happened here? Well, I don't know. Oh, there it goes. I figured out how to work it. How about that? And then there was the issue on veterans about the amount of money, about their care and their you know, the money they make, the VA and all of this. And I mean, Trump just knocked it out of the park. Okay, now I understand. Boy, do I ever understand. No new taxes. Read my lips. Okay, I know that these people lie. Or that people before him have lied. We know that Hillary is lying because her lips are moving. So we know that that's a fact. It seems to me like it's going to be pretty difficult. That Yakima Glock, me too. Me too. No doubt about it. It's going to be pretty hard for him to go back on his word on most of these issues. You know, he may be able to fudge a little bit, but it's going to be pretty hard because he made no bones about it. There was no, there's no ifs, ands, buts, or maybes, or just icing eyewash to make people happy. He was very, very adamant and solid in everything. There was no room for discussion, and no room for fudging or modifying a little bit later on down the road, because he was solid with that. Will he change his mind and do exactly opposite what he said? Maybe he will. I don't know. I can't say that. And there was those people online on Facebook and whatnot saying, well, Trump will do this and Trump will do that. You know, that I hate that. When he has no track record whatsoever, there's no way that you can say that this is what's going to happen. If that's what happens, okay, then you can say, well, see, I told you so. But you don't know that right now. And you didn't know it when you said that. You're guessing, you're assuming. We're not assuming anything on Hillary Clinton. We're going on what she has said, not just tonight and not just in the last little while, but ever since she's been in political office, or political life, whatever you want to call it. She's always been anti. What do you call it? You got pro-life, and then what do you call the ones that are not pro-life? Anti-life, whatever. Anyway, she's always been that. She's always been anti-gun, pro-choice. Thank you, Yakima. That's exactly right. That's what I was looking for. She's always been. This is not a constitutional thing here. This pro-choice. You're not giving them a choice to. Okay, it's your choice. You can kill your baby if you want. There's pro. She's always been pro-choice. She's always been anti-gun. She's always lied. I mean, she's always lied. You can go way, way back, and some of the things that she supported when she was an attorney before she ever got into office. She's always been just a dirty, rotten, sorry trash. It's her whole life. So her and Bill made such a great pair. They were so cute together. And then there was, after the veterans deal, then they talked about the debt quite a bit. And that's where I think Trump's really going to shine. I may be wrong. I doubt it, but I may be. But I think that's his forte right there, is managing money. Yeah, he's been through a couple of bankruptcies. So have a lot of other people that were smart and knew how to manage money. They just, you know, either made some bad decisions or somebody helped them with decisions that he didn't need help with, or whatever the case may have been. May have been, you know, just misfortune. I don't know what the circumstances were behind him. Over the years, some of the decisions that he's made concerning his business, I'm not sure that I support those decisions. But most of those decisions were a long, long time ago. If anybody knew some of the decisions that I made a long time ago, you probably wouldn't be listening to me now. You know, people have changed. And I tell some of these people, you already know, I've told you before, but I tell these people, you know, Ronald Reagan was once a liberal Democrat. And he saw the light and he changed. Maybe Donald Trump saw the light and he changed. Hillary Clinton hasn't. So anyway. Trey Gowdy is, I don't care what anybody, I love Trey Gowdy to death. What an awesome individual he is. I don't know if you guys have seen this on Facebook, but we're going to take about a little over 3 minutes here and listen to this. This is very, very good.
And our commitment that justice is done for this terrible act in Benghazi. And make no mistake, justice will be done. That was the President of the United States over a year ago. We're investigating exactly what happened, but my biggest priority now is bringing those folks to justice. That was the President of the United States over a year ago. No one has been arrested. No one has been prosecuted. No one has been brought to justice. We don't even have access to the witnesses. You and the media were good enough for my 16 years as a prosecutor not to tell me how to do my job. And so far in Congress, y'all have been good enough not to tell me how to do my job. I'm not telling you how to do your job. But I'm going to ask you some questions. And if you can't answer these questions, then I'll leave you to draw whatever conclusion you want to draw about whether or not the media has provided sufficient oversight. Can you tell me why Chris Stevens was in Benghazi the night that he was killed? Do you know? Does it bother you whether or not you know why Chris Stevens was in Benghazi? Do you know why we were the last flag flying in Benghazi after the British had left and the Red Cross had been bombed? Do you know why requests for additional security were denied? Do you know why an ambassador asking for more security days and weeks before he was murdered and those requests went unheeded? Do you know the answer to why those requests went unheeded? Do you know why no assets were deployed during the siege? And I've heard the explanation, which defies logic, frankly, that we couldn't have gotten there in time. But you know, they didn't know when it was going to end. So how can you possibly cite that as an excuse? Do you know whether the president called any of our allies and said, can you help? We have men under attack. Can you answer that? Do any of you know why Susan Rice was picked? The Secretary of State did not go. She says she doesn't like Sunday talk shows. That's the only media venue she does not like, if that's true. Why was Susan Rice on the 5 Sunday talk shows? Do you know the origin of this mythology that it was spawned as a spontaneous reaction to a video? Do you know where that started? Do you know how we got from no evidence of that to that being the official position of the administration? In conclusion, Congress is supposed to provide oversight. The voters are supposed to provide oversight. And you were supposed to provide oversight. That's why you have special liberties, and that's why you have special protections. I am not surprised that the President of the United States called this a phony scandal. I'm not surprised that Secretary Clinton asked, what difference does it make? I'm not even surprised that Jay Carney said Benghazi happened a long time ago. I'm just surprised at how many people bought it.
I don't know if you have watched that video or not, but he's so sincere. You know, yeah, you can just see it in his face. He is disgusted. And when he talks about this stuff, and when that was over with, it was over with. He just, in those last words, he just grabbed his papers off the desk and turned and walked out. And if you'll notice, Chavitz. Is it Jason Chavitz? The guy from Utah who is trying to disarm, take the police powers away from BLM and all the Forest Service and everything. Yeah, he just there was twice in there he just cracked up. He couldn't keep from laughing. But Trey Gowdy was not laughing, and he was deadly serious about that. And so I like to watch him when he does it. I watch some of his videos sometimes. He's pretty squared away. Okay, well let's continue to march here. Let me bring up my crystal ball again. And I'll get to that in a minute. We'll save that for a little while. you may hear about this again Monday, but I can't help but talk about this. It has nothing to do with anything that we normally talk about. But there was a 9-year-old girl, she's a cheerleader in San Antonio, Texas, and fourth grader, she was doing, performing for the high school, when all the other cheerleaders on the field, their dads come out there and picked them up and put them on their shoulder, everybody but her. Well, it's because her dad was in the Army, and he had been moved to just shortly before this to Travis Air Force Base in California, and he was training and doing what soldiers do, or airmen in this case. There was a senior, I don't mean an 80-year-old man, there was a senior in high school that looked, he saw and immediately interpreted what was going on there. He saw this girl just brokenhearted standing there alone after all the other girls' daddies picked them up. And I think that was poor planning on someone's part there. Somebody should have said, well, this is what we're going to do. Do you want to set this one out? Or can you get a substitute? Or we'll find one of the coaches for you or something. They just left her standing. And this senior saw that. He jumped over two fences and run out there to her and knelt down in front of her and said, are you okay? And he said, come on, I got this. And so he put her on his shoulders like all the rest of them. And the mother just almost lost it there because she felt so bad that her daughter was out there with nobody. And then she, this kid went out there and did that for him. So that was, it's not only a great gesture, it's not only a neat thing to see, but I think the neatest thing was that of all the people that were watching this, that there was a boy that was, he couldn't have been, 16, 17 years old, that figured out what was going on and without hesitation dove over those fences and went out there and helped her out. And that boy has been raised right. He's got that compassion and stuff in him that you just don't see nearly often enough these days. And I thought that was an amazing story. I loved it. Had nothing to do with what we usually talk about, but I couldn't resist it. That kid, if that had been my daughter, and I was off in training and whatnot, that kid would be on my Christmas card list from now on. I mean, he'd be invited for dinner. And I think that was pretty cool. Anyway, let's get off of that stuff here. I don't know. I may have mentioned this the other day. I don't think I have. It's been confirmed now in court that there were at least 15 informants at the refuge in Oregon where LaVoy got killed. At least 15. It has been proven in testimony in court that Mark McConnell, who we have suspected for so long, was an informant. It's been proven. I don't know exactly how many right now, but we knew that. We're working on a list, actually, get all these people together. But there was a girl named Terry Linnell, Mark McConnell. There was none. Now, you might check and see some of you guys that have Facebook, you know, some of these Facebook friends, possibly go through your list and make sure. There was a guy named Fabio Menaggio. He goes by AKA John Killman. K-I-L-L-M-A-N. John Killman. If you have a bunch of friends from the Finicums deal and all that, look and see if he's on there. He was I don't think he was just an informant. I think he was an agent. I'm not sure. Brian Cavalier, Buddha. Melissa Louder. It's spelled Laughter. If you have that on Facebook, she would be M.D. Louder. Laughter. There's more that's all I can think of off the top of my head, but these are people that contributed to LaVoy's death and to all of our political prisoners that are in jail right now. So, I don't have much else to say about that. We'll when we get the full list put together, I'll bring it out here to you. But some of the ones that we least expected, some of the ones that were friends and helping and seemed sincere and all that, they were informants. There's a cop in Maryland that has been suspended. Why, you might ask? Well, funny you should ask. He's suspended because he had an Oath Keepers cap in the back window of his cruiser. They're saying that the group, this would be obviously according to the SPLC, that the group espouses anti-government views and has been at several politically charged events. Now, they have been at several politically charged events, no doubt about it. But as bad as I am not a supporter any longer of the organization Oath Keepers. However,
I have never heard, maybe individual members, but never as an organization, have I ever heard anything that remotely resembled anti-government talk. But this guy was suspended anyway for displaying this hat in the rear windshield of his car, cop car. And there was a mother of four there locally that spotted it sitting in the parking lot of Whole Foods in Annapolis. And complained about it and suspended this guy. Unbelievable. Yeah, Yakima Glock. I have... I was added to a group on Facebook here not long ago. I have unadded myself, right, you know, shortly afterwards. But Victoria Sharp was added the same day. And when she got on there, she stayed about 5 minutes. And she saw some stuff about Mark McConnell. And said just that she was friends and she trusted him, and she left. Now, it's funny, I have another source in Utah. And I'm waiting on confirmation, of documentation for this. But he says that he has been provided with information that indicates that Victoria Sharp may have also been one of those informants. It would kind of, you know, we don't want to believe that. She was always the innocent victim and all that. And I'm not saying that she was. Please don't think that. That's just what hurt. I'm waiting for anything that would lead me, you know, give me any proof of that. But, you know, being such good friends with Mark McConnell and everything, wouldn't surprise me that bad, I guess. But anyway, well, so much fun. Jeez, a lot of stuff going on.
There's a picture that I care. They ask who's in the picture with me. I say just a girl I used to know. Just a girl I used to go around with. Just a friend from long ago. Just another girl now, just a flame that lost its glow. And I say her name has slipped my mind now, and she's just a girl I used to know. Girl I used to spend some time with, just a friend from long ago. I don't talk about the nights I cry without her. she's just a girl I used to know. Just a girl I used to know.
Welcome back to another segment of The Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
Yakima Glock, I like those magazines you're showing there. That's going to have to check into those. Those from Magpul. I like that. We'll check. Well, I've got quite a number of the 31, 33 round magazines, whatever they are. And I've got some of the original Glock magazines. The magazine was made originally for the Glock 18. And I've got several of them. I've also got some of the Korean ones, and they work very, very well. They work every bit as well so far as the stock Glock magazines. So if that changes, if we have any issues with them, I'll let you know. But so far, I'm very, very happy, excuse me, with them. You know, there's a lot of discussion about the war on cops lately, over the last few months here. And I don't think this will ever be resolved. It's even with cameras and whatnot. And I talked the other night about the holster that activated the body cam when you drew the weapon. Even with all that, it just seems like there's never enough evidence, I'll say, to prove that a cop murdered somebody. They're always able to say that they feared for their lives and got off. Now, you know, maybe the higher ups really believe that, and that's what they're telling us. Maybe then I'm sure that some of them do. I'm equally as sure that there are some of them that help cover up some of those killings and shootings to protect their department and their officers. So I don't think it'll ever be resolved. But the other thing is, that I don't think that a lot of people understand. I do believe with all my heart and soul, now I am not disputing for one second, that there's a lot of innocent people killed by cops, and cops get away with it. But I will also say, without hesitation, that there's a lot of shootings that appear that way that we weren't there, and we can't, for what we see from, you know, surveillance cameras and security cameras from homes, and sometimes because a body cam is not available or not on, then we can't see all of the, we don't know all the facts. We weren't there. We didn't see through that cop's eyes what he thought. You know, I'm sure that there's some that are scared to death and that shoot prematurely when they shouldn't have. I'm sure there are some experienced officers that look to see and say, well, that's close enough for me. I'm going to light this guy up. You know, I don't know. I can't see through their eyes. I don't know. But I can say for sure that someone with a knife or a stun gun or pepper spray or, you know, things other than firearms sometimes, easily concealable, quickly and lethally deployed in a matter of of milliseconds. And if you let somebody get too close, do something wrong with their hands, something like that, then the cop is left with no choice. And so I'm pretty well equally divided right down the middle, where yes, I believe there's a lot of them that are avoidable, but I think there are also a lot of them that are very legitimate as well. Yeah, and we've talked about this on the show more than once. Knives, I do believe, are much more dangerous than most people give them credit for. It's just a knife. Why did you have to shoot him? He just had a knife. I tell you what, if you have a knife, I'm going to shoot you faster than I would if I had a gun. You can go on YouTube and look up some, there's thousands upon thousands of videos on there. But look up Filipino knife training, Filipino knife attacks, stuff like that. And, or just knife attacks, period. And I think it should just be a matter of a video or two of watching that, then you should be able to see that, you know, you don't have time. There's no second chance here. Like Bill Jordan says, there's no second place winner. And if you can, good night, snowman. Sorry, you got to go. Yeah, and Yakima Glock. That's right. A lot easier to accidentally cut or stab someone. It's a lot easier. The average person, their conscience is probably allows them to use that knife easier than it does to shoot somebody, because everybody has this, unless you are, you know, have a lot of combat experience and a lot of extensive training, they look at that gun as being, everybody looks at a gun different than they do a knife. Most people are less willing to pull a trigger than they are to stab somebody or slice somebody, I think. And I've watched some videos of these Filipinos. I watched one in a bar one time, and this guy went, I mean, I wasn't in the bar. The Filipino was in the bar. That's what the video was about. And this guy, I believe he killed like four people. I'll have to go see if I can find that again. I think he killed like four people, or certainly, I know he killed at least one. And this all happened in 45 seconds. And it was just amazing to watch this guy move and what he did. Now, you would have no choice. But the trouble is, you still are without some training, without the right mindset, you're not going to pull that trigger in time. I know, Peter Ryder, I agree with what you're saying, but most people, yeah, I would rather pull the trigger and get that close too, but most people are not going to have the mindset to do it. They're not going to be, you know, it's going to happen so fast that unless you've got a lot of training and got it on your mind to pull that trigger, most people are not going to, at least not in time. So anyway, all right, well, let's see here. My magic ball keeps getting clouded up here. See if I can get it straightened up here again. Let's see. Here's one. I think this was on the... Oh, great. It's been pulled off. I just had it saved here, and it was about informants during the trial, and now it's gone. Huh. Imagine that. Oh, well. All right. Well, I tell you what, it's getting close to the top of the hour. I think we're going to try to get into a little bit of gun stuff here. So we'll do that here. Most Ricky Tick right after this. Worked out just about right. Now it really is the top of the hour. So the I always just kind of choose these cartridge of the week things. I just kind of pull them out of thin air, and they don't really, there's no rhyme or reason for what I do. But it's you know, before I get into this, there's two or three other things I need to mention. We're having another CERPT class, Community Emergency Response Preparedness Training, in Snowflake, Arizona on the 19th of November. This will be at the LDS Church building in just south of Pioneer Park on Main Street in Snowflake. And this promises to be a pretty good class. And there's the 3-day handgun class coming up in Moriarty, New Mexico. That is weekend after next, the last weekend of the month. Unbelievable. And we have, I believe, 3 openings left in that class if anybody wants to get into it. And because of the logistics of this class, I've offered a discount that I've never offered before. And, well, that's a lie. I did one other time. But huge discount on this class. So if you've ever wanted to get in on this, I've managed to save you enough money over the original price of that 3-day class to pay for your hotel, your meals, and part of your gas money, your airplane ticket, to get to this class. So take a... Huh. Peanut Rider, you put the discussion to rest with the cartridge to the center. No. No, we're not going to do it. Matter of fact, yeah, we may talk about the 45 ACP one of these days. Maybe towards the end of next year, we'll get with on that a little bit. So. Let's see, we got that class, and the 40-page SERPT manual that goes along with that class is available now. You can get them through our online store. You can buy them there, or you can go on to the podcast site, tsb.podbean.com, and you can download the PDF version of it a little bit cheaper. So the... Hang on a minute. Alright, I'll have to check into that a little bit later. Did you hear that Julian Assange, the guy, the WikiLeaks guy, they cut off his internet in Ecuador? The Ecuadorian government, Ecuadorian, is that right? Ecuadorian government has evidently is complying with the United States government as they are trying to get him to quit release stuff. He's evidently had a contingency plan, though, because it doesn't seem to have slowed him down any. So, let me move this out of the way. All right. Now, just for no particular reason, I was running. No. I thought about this cartridge a little bit, and that's the 204 Ruger. The 204 Ruger seems to have... you don't hear much about it anymore. I haven't really gone and studied and see how popular it is right now, but I don't hear much about it. You know, it wasn't a bad round, actually. I say wasn't. I don't know if it's still as popular as it was or not. When it came out, it hit pretty hard. It was a great varmint round. The problem was bullets pretty expensive, even for the reloaders. And, you know, loaded ammunition was pretty pricey for this thing. But I'll tell you what, it would shoot. It had, you know, at, 4,100, 4,250, some of the heavier grain bullets, you know, 3,800 feet a second. It was a very, very flat shooting round. It had kind of a compromise there between the 223 and or the 22 calibers and the 17s, and not quite as affected by unclean barrels and other things and wind as the 17 caliber stuff was. And there was an AR, well, there's been several ARs, actually, that were designed around that cartridge. It shoots at least the most popular that you can load for it are 32, 40, and 45 grain bullets. 45 is pretty heavy for that one, but even then, it's 3,500 feet a second at 45 grain, but that's still pretty dang, you know, squirting right along there. The 32 grain bullet's not hard to get 4,200 feet a second out of it. It's a little bit hard to load for because of the very tiny little bullets and the corresponding case mouth and everything. So it's kind of a pain in the neck. Could be a pain in the fingers to load for. But one of the most popular ARs to come out was one that Les Baer did. Les Baer is one of those guys. He made all his money from in the beginning doing AR. 1911 modifications and whatnot, and custom 1911s. And then he got into ARs and other things. But this little 204 that he made. There was a couple of different versions of it. There's a super varmint model and a super match model. And he actually came out with the very, very first AR in 204 Ruger. And I'm not sure exactly what Ruger was thinking about when they made this round. You know, there's so many other calibers that I think are along those lines. But it did fill a little bit of a gap. Like I said, it does a little better than the 17s in some regards, and a little bit flatter than any of the 22 calibers. So, you know, at a varmint round, that's appealing to some people. But the 32 grain bullet out of a 24 inch barrel, they're claiming 4,250 feet a second. And this one has, it's like that little 17 HMR that we talked about a little bit. It has a degree of inherent accuracy that is just unbelievable, unrivaled. Little 17 HMR. I don't like the gun. I had one for a while, and I don't have any use for it. It finally proved to be less useful to me than the 22 Magnum, especially after they come out with some new rounds for the 22 Magnum. But I'll never take away its accuracy potential for it. That gun would damn sure stack one on top of the other. Accuracy was astonishing in that little gun. And I had the only one that I had was a Ruger. I think Jason had a Savage. I don't remember. But the accuracy was just amazing with that thing. But there's so many other things that I didn't like about it. And this 204 accuracy on it is just, I mean, it's just, there's no such thing as an inaccurate 204. They just shoot. The round itself is just an extremely accurate round. And you get a bullet that small, you get out at the longer distances, you know, the heavier bullets eat these up pretty quick. But out to 500 yards or a little better, this round was hard to beat. Les Bear has all of Les Bear's rifles. In fact, they're 204s come with a 5-shot accuracy guarantee of 1/2 MOA or less. For all intents and purposes, that's a half inch at 100 yards. So, there was another article that I wanted to find, and I don't know if it's up there. There's one where they were shooting that out to 600 yards. And I read the article a long, long time ago, back in probably 2009, somewhere in there. And I didn't save it. I wish I would have. I wanted to find out exactly what that group size was at. It was 500 or 600 yards. But it was like an inch and a half or something. Just stupid. But like I said, I don't know where it stands right now as far as ammo availability and everything, and if the guns are still being made for it. I have not kept up with it. I've not spent 1 minute trying to research it, and I probably should have. And I'm still kind of up in the air about whether I want to get my FFL again or not. And the only reason that brings that up is because when I had my FFL, I kept up more with this kind of stuff. But I've just about made up my mind to do it, and then, you know, something comes up, and I either change my mind or don't have the money, one or the other. So we'll have to see if we can get that done. I wanted to get it done before the end of the year, but it don't look like that's going to happen. And let's see here. There's, 204 Ruger, the highest velocity. One thing about this 204 is it uses standard 5.56 magazine, same magazine used for your 223, for your AR-15. It doesn't require any modifications or anything. It's just plug and play there. Let's see. Well, they're pricey. Wilson's got some ARs here. $2,250. Of course, I guess that's not any worse than a lot of the 223 ARs. This one is a 204 also. But they're running, $2,200, $3,000. That's more than I'm interested in paying for an AR. Well, hold on just a second. We might have breaking news. I'm trying to keep up with some of the stuff that's going on in with the trials up in Oregon, in Portland. And there's been getting constant, all day long, feedback from people that are, boots on the ground there, and all the things that's going on. It's just amazing to me, the things that are allowed, that the judge is allowed to do with no accountability. People can complain all they want, but nothing changes. And it's the same with Hillary and the old Attorney General Holder and all these people. There's no accountability. And there is a growing number of people out there that insist that this accountability gets taken care of, or it's going to start being taken care of by other groups of people. And I hope that that doesn't come to that. But it certainly looked like it might. All right. A little bit of Liberty Lounge for you here while we're doing this. You gotta get a drink.
I see the sparkling little diamond on your hand. It's plain to see that you already got a man. I can tell you're not about to fall for any of my life. I see the deep in your smile, there's a quiet, soft desire. Like the ember of a once raging fire. You know I could light that fire again. You know the want to in your eyes. How strong is a band of gold? Is it strong enough to hold when a love has grown cold and a woman wants a love sweet and warm? Many women just like you have silent schemes. How many men like me do they sleep with in their dreams? You can stay or you can go, and although I sympathize, I still see the want to in your eyes. I see the want to in your eyes.
There are still a few people out there getting this is gun related. There are still a few people out there that intend to vote for Gary Johnson or somebody. There was a time when this song was going to interrupt me. I'll stop that right now. There was a time when Gary Johnson was worth voting for. He was quite a guy, but that was the last few years he's really started going downhill. When I met him and talked to him, that was 90. Might have been 2000, 2001, somewhere in there. Somewhere between 99 and 2001, I don't remember exactly. And at that time, I would have done absolutely anything to help him with his campaign. Right now, I will do absolutely anything to keep him from getting in there, which I don't think I'm going to have to do anything. He's managed to screw that up good enough on his own. And one of the things he did was pick a... he calls himself a... Well, I don't know. I actually don't know if he calls himself a libertarian or not. I know Gary Johnson does, but I'm not sure about his vice president. I don't know what he calls himself. But he's anti-gun anyway, and stupid on top of that. He needed a little clarification, a little help, when asked about some issues concerning their state-issued concealed carry permits. He has no clue. Let me let you, I'll let him tell you here.
So where does the Libertarian vice presidential nominee stand on issues like the Second Amendment and reciprocity?
I'm totally in favor of the Second Amendment, not blaming the guns. The history of people who have surrendered their weapons to the government is not a pretty history. Mm. They don't wind up well. And the Second Amendment says the right of the people to bear arms shall not be infringed.
Do you believe in reciprocity?
Period. Reciprocity? Mm-hmm.
Meaning that if I have, like, I have my concealed carry in Texas, would I be able to, because I have my concealed carry in Texas, would each of the states recognize?
Do
you believe in that?
We don't have concealed carry up in New England.
I know.
I'd want to look at that.
I know. So iffy on reciprocity. What about constitutional carry, permitless carry?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, in that interview, he was not, he didn't sound near as bad as he does in some of his other ones, although he had no idea what reciprocity was, and he said they don't have concealed carry in New England. I beg to differ. There are quite a number of states in New England that have concealed carry. I'm not sure what he was talking about or thinking about, but I think what it means is he has no idea, none whatsoever. 305, I would say if you're looking for a 1911 expert, don't look this way. That would probably be the resident 1911 expert, probably be Peanut Rider or Doc, one or the other. There's a couple of other ones that have fallen by the wayside and mess around with those things. But I'm not one of them. I am not a 1911 expert, and I don't plan to ever be one, even though I've built a few of them and fixed a few of them and such as that. I'm just not interested in them. Okay, where's my... Okay, here it is right here. Let me go back and... By the way, that gal that you heard there that was interviewing Bill Weld is Dana Loesch. And not only is she a 14-carat fox, she is very, very pro-gun and really a pleasure to listen to when she interviews some of these people. She's pretty good. I like her a lot. They say since 2008, gun sales have, as bad as the laws are in California, that gun sales have more than doubled since 2008. According to some data that was released by the California Attorney General's office just last week, this is a brand new article, came out today, said gun sales ballooned by over 250% between 2008 and 2013. That's so what is this doing? What are all the gun laws doing for the acquisition? You know, as hard as it is, all the registration and the magazine capacity and the magazine, you know, all the cosmetic appearance things on different assault weapons and stuff. And even with all of that, gun sales 250% higher. Probably a little higher than that now. That was 3 years ago. The story's new, but the stuff has just been released. So, said lowest gun sale rates in the past 20 years came in 2003 when George W. was in the White House. In that year, which also saw Schwarzenegger elected as governor in California, there was only 126,000 new and used guns reported sold in the state. And that started climbing not long after that. It doubled to 242,000 in 2009, just 3 years. The year that Obama took office, actually. And it said that every year after that, sales have just skyrocketed. It said it doubled again. It doubled once from 126,000 to 242,000. And then it doubled again to 520,000 in 2014. That's just in one state. It says the dramatic spike in gun sales over the last 10 years reflects the continued need for smart and sensible gun safety laws. Well, I don't know about that. With the state legislature being under Democratic control ever since 1995, there's been quite a few gun control bills in California that's gone over. That was, you know, the micro-stamping thing and having a roster. They've got a roster of handguns that are approved by the California Department of Justice. And there, when a new handgun comes out, it can be absolutely 10,000% completely identical to one that's already been approved, but if it's a different color, or, you know, maybe one was stainless steel and the other one was blued steel, or an alloy, aluminum alloy frame or something, they got to go through the whole approval process again. I have a friend in Massachusetts that is going through some stuff the same way. And they called or emailed me the other day and asked about my opinion for a pre-1998 Glock. And those are ones that are approved in Massachusetts. But part of that is due to magazine capacity and whatnot. So some of these, there's a newer gun, you know, you could take the Glock 43, would be approved in Massachusetts with its 5-round, 6-round magazine. So I think that's what they're going to get is the 43. They said in response to some of the inability to comply with these new mandates, the micro-stamping thing, they just, you know, the technology just isn't there yet. I mean, it can be done, but it's going to cost like, you know, $984 a round to put this super secret squirrel stamp in the casing there. And they want it in the bullets too. That ought to be interesting. Said that some of the manufacturers like Ruger and Smith & Wesson have declined to submit new designs. You know, people, the gun dealers are abandoning ship in California. A lot of them just pulling out. They said, you know what? This is, we're just not going to play this game anymore. It's just getting a little bit too stupid for us. And I think that we can sell our guns and still make a living just fine selling it in the other 49 states. But they said this resulted in the roster consisting of going down from 1,400 gun models in 2008 to only 770 models today. So that tells you right there that a lot of folks pulling out. That's not a bad thing though. I like to hear that. I like to hear some of these big companies that will actually stand up and risk their bottom line, you know, and jeopardize their bottom line for their principles. And I think that's pretty awesome. There's of course a lot of companies that won't too. But my money will go towards the ones that do. This is not a gun-related thing, but did you see where some Georgia residents caught one of Hillary's buses, the Democratic National Convention bus, dumping raw sewage on the street out of this big old bus they have? Well, they got caught, and then it was an honest mistake, they said. We're sorry. We didn't mean to crap all over your city here and dump this whole thing of raw sewage on the street. And I'd like to know, and it doesn't say in the article, I'd like to know if anybody got a ticket or, you know, got a fine for it or a butt chewing or what exactly happened here. But my guess is nothing. That's what I think, is nothing. Yeah. So let me go check in the chat room here and see what's going on real quick. There's got a lot of, hate to see it, but we got some 1911 talk going on. Yeah, Susie B. You know, Susie B, I think I'm going to send you a picture, if I can remember to do it, a picture of those gloves that I still have, that I'm still wearing every day. And if you guys want a good, very comfortable, very, geez, long-lasting pair of gloves, good leather gloves, good, comfortable, working leather, not driving gloves, not shooting gloves. I'm talking about handling 2x4s and shovels and barbed wire and stuff every day. Then talk to Susie B. This pair of gloves, I need to get a picture of them. They just won't die. These are Timex gloves. I still have the first pair, and I'm still using the first pair that I got. Now, as it starts getting colder here in another month, I probably won't wear them quite as often, because obviously they're not winter gloves. But I'll still use them. It's like those. I've got a pair of Nike tennis shoes in there that I swear I run. I counted it up one time, and I don't remember what it is. If I can, it seems like it was something like, I don't know, 3,500 miles or something like that, that I'd run in those shoes all the time I was in Europe. And I bought them just as I was on my way to Europe. Actually, I may have even bought them while I was over there. And that's the way these gloves are. I wore those damn shoes until there just wasn't anything left. I keep threatening them to send them back to Nike and tell them, you know, the history behind those shoes. And I may wind up sending these gloves to Susie B and have them put them in their personal glove museum there. But I know there's been a couple of other listeners that have bought gloves from Susie B and absolutely loved, sent me an email to say how comfortable they were and thanks for the recommendation. So if you guys want a good pair of leather gloves, I strongly recommend to go with these that Susie B's got. I've got at this rate, if these keep going, I bought a couple more pairs at the Arms Expo, and I should be in gloves now for the next that was 2014, probably for the next at least 8 years. That's what it's looking like right now. Okay, that's enough of the glove talk anyway. Let's get back here. Let me go back to where we were at. We were dumping raw sewage at the time there. I don't care about Indiana. That's all right. You know that you've heard of El Chapo, right? The Mexican cartel leader. Well, he has escaped again for the third time. And just like in the movies, the judge that presided over his case was found shot point blank in the head while he was, or was shot point blank in the head while he was jogging outside of his home in Mexico. And it was all captured on video. The video is available online. This judge, 37 years old, seen jogging as a man runs up behind him, shoots him in the head, turns and runs away. The entire thing lasted just a few seconds. They say the shooting remains under investigation. Nobody's in custody. My guess is that there never will be anybody in custody over this. They're getting almost as corrupt in Mexico as they are in the United States. They got bodies piling up here from Hillary's crap here, so many of them. So, this, yeah, we won't have to go through that. And that's a video. I thought that was a, well, Pennsylvania is doing some good things. I wish that other one would have been a video. The Pennsylvania State Senate passed just this last, Monday this week, a bill banning gun ordinances. Not banning guns, but banning some municipal gun ordinances that were more restrictive than state law. That's what you call a state preemption law. You can't make any laws any stricter than what state laws already are. And more states are getting preemption laws. We got preemption laws here in Arizona. And there was just a law passed here, what was this year? I don't remember when. That did the same thing that this law in Pennsylvania is doing, to keep them from any local ordinances from being any more restrictive than state law. So a good, voted by a good margin too, 30-19. As fast as things are falling apart, I keep reserving a little bit of hope and a little bit of faith in mankind when I see where a lot of these gun laws are going here. The anti-gun stuff just continues to be shot down, so to speak. And we pick up steam in other places. You know, we've had more concealed carry states, more constitutional carry. All kinds of good developments here in the gun arena, I guess you'd call it. there's no telling how many judges and cops and lawyers and stuff get away with this, nobody ever catches them. But here in Arkansas, surprise, surprise, in Arkansas, you know how much corruption there is in Arkansas. Watch a movie called The Mena Connection sometime. MENA. It's a little town in Arkansas. The Mena Connection. Yeah, you'll find out lots and lots of corruption in Arkansas. This guy's 70 years old. He's a judge. facing multiple charges from accusations that he engaged in sexual acts and took pornographic photos of young men in exchange for reduced sentences. That's a sick individual right there. 70 years old and still, I don't get it. So the Department of Justice announced Monday at the arrest of Joseph Beckman of Wynn, Arkansas. Altogether, he was indicted on 21 counts, including 11 bribery-related charges and 2 counts of witness tampering. Sick individual. Yep. All right, stand by 1 second and sing it, Dolly. It's an interesting story here by doesn't work for the NRA or anything, but he's a, all right, stop. Okay, got it. They're not pulling any punches here as far as preparedness goes. There's a lot of, continually we're hearing people in pretty, what would you call it, very, not obvious, but high-profile positions here of different types, anywhere from this guy happens to be a former Navy SEAL. We hear lawyers and cops and whatever, not just the... Not just your doomsday people and your preppers and stuff, but people that you don't expect it from so much. And this guy was formerly sponsored by Kimber. And in a series of videos for the NRA, he said that he was a SEAL for 12 years. And says he's a he's been doing these videos with this. I don't know how to pronounce this. He's an NRA guy. He's on YouTube and everything. It's called like Colin Neuer is what it sounds like. But you guys probably know who I'm talking about. But anyway, his two latest videos, he said, focuses on their unprotected border and creating an opportunity for ISIS to work with the Mexican cartels. And he's convinced that they are going to, if they haven't already, are going to smuggle a nuclear device into the country, into our country. And they're saying that with enough intelligence and advanced planning, a terrorist could create a long-term power outage or something like that through pretty large areas in the country. And all of this could, as they're hoping to, destabilize our society. So let's, I want you to listen to this one here. It's not very long. This is an NRA. It's coming up here shortly.
If you want to stop the enemy, you have to think like the enemy. Those thoughts can make you very uncomfortable. They make us realize how vulnerable we really are. But it's the only way to be prepared. We face an enemy that will accept nothing less than our complete and utter destruction. So let me think like ISIS for a minute. I want to bring America to its knees, but I don't have anywhere near the ability to attack it head on. So I'll look for weaknesses, ways to exploit the culture to my benefit, ways to multiply by force by nearly infinite amounts. Here's what I do. I take out the power. Our power grids are unfortunately much more vulnerable than you think. And I'm sure with enough intelligence and advanced planning, ISIS can create a long-term power outage across entire regions of the country, if not more, and destabilize the entire American society. Here's how it would go down. For the first 24 hours, it'd be inconvenient. People get mad because they can't check Instagram, watch their TV shows, and have to use candles to light their houses. But in a week, food and water would be almost impossible to find, and whatever stockpiles were left would become a war zone. There's no power to keep it safe. And I guarantee police would abandon their duty to protect their own families. Mothers and fathers would begin stealing and doing whatever's necessary to feed their families. Inventory at every business will be completely wiped out. Gas stations no longer functional. You can't drive anywhere. There's no heat to stay warm, and hypothermia becomes a serious threat, especially for children and the elderly. Banks and financial institutions will fail. ATMs won't work. There's no financial transactions whatsoever, and our stock market and economy will plunge into irreversible damage. Backup generators and hospitals would stop functioning. Sewage would pile up in homes and run out into the streets. There'd be no safe water for showers, and disease would inevitably start to spread. With their ruthless methods and superior organization, Mexican cartels and urban street gangs take advantage of everyone and will take control. At this point, ISIS doesn't have to kill anyone. They've already won. But if they wanted to attack America, there would never be an easier time. Okay, so now it's your turn to respond. Call me crazy, tell me I'm full of it, and I'm giving them new ideas. And here's my answer to that. On April 16th, 2013, a team of gunmen executed a coordinated attack on California's Metcalf transmission substation just outside of Silicon Valley at 1:30 a.m. They fired more than 100 rounds and knocked out 17 transformers. Repairs took 27 days. And the military experts who investigated the attack said it looked like a professional job. No fingerprints were left on any shell casings. And the shooters even cut the telephone cables prior to the attack. I'm telling you right now, this was not the work of amateurs. And while this attack didn't shut down the power, it's very possible they didn't mean to. They just wanted to study our response. I'm not going to go into any more detail on that attack or how frighteningly possible it would be to take out our power grids for weeks, months, or even years. But the information's out there, and I suggest you read it yourself. If you think the people who wake up every day dreaming of bringing America to its knees haven't done that already, then you've probably already convinced yourself that nothing bad will ever happen to you. And that's fine. It's your right to bury your head in the sand. But if I were you, I'd get prepared. And I'd hold my leaders and politicians accountable. We should all be demanding an election year conversation that focuses a whole lot less on which bathroom you can use, and a hell of a lot more on who's willing to do whatever it takes to keep the power on in America.
All righty then. I thought that was an excellent... A little surprised to see that, actually, on the NRA deal there. But pleased, nevertheless. And that's one way to look at... 305, you just got a pistol in my favorite caliber. What is my favorite caliber? I'm going to guess 40, since I talk about 40 so much. But... I'm not sure. Oh, 22 Magnum. Okay. Cool. It may be easier. I mean, it was sure proven in California, in that deal there that they attacked, that it was pretty easy, and there was no response, you know, from anybody for a while. I'm kind of up in the air whether, and I've talked about this before, whether it would be the power or water supplies. And I'm not going to go into that because we've talked about it a number of times. But either way, there's, Peanut Rider, we've had both fiber optic cables and phone cables and power. So we've had three things have been taken out here in Arizona in the last year that were not accidents, that were very purposely done. And whether they're practicing or checking for a response, as the video said there, or just inexperienced and not getting the results that they'd hoped for, I don't know, but it has been done purposely. And, you know, we've talked about EMP and stuff, and I spend a lot of time in that SERP class talking about EMP and power failures and stuff. And boy, he hit it on the head there, and that was just from taking out power in a certain region there. Can you imagine what it would be like, what he was talking about there? And that would be, let's say, in a a countywide area, or maybe a couple of states. But can you imagine if there was a full-fledged, honest-to-goodness, big EMP, how that would, what he was describing there, all over the United States? And Radio Doc just reminded me, we talked last week about that thing that happened up on Sandia Peak. They say there was enough explosives up there to take out every tower up there. And there's a lot of towers on Sandia Peak. But maybe they just mean the major ones. But that would have been incredibly crippling to New Mexico, and even pretty damaging to some of the surrounding states, because there is a tremendous amount of communication stuff up on top of Sandia Peak. And if that would have all been taken out or damaged for any period of time, it would have been very, very bad. So, I like that. Matter of fact, I think I'm going to record that and save it. I might even start using it in some of my classes, because that I think he describes that very well. Comes from a very good, credible source. And I think that would be a good thing to throw in to some of these disaster preparedness classes and stuff. There's... you know, I'm not going to give this guy the pleasure of spending more than about 30 seconds or a minute on this story. But there's a head of a police group, and I'm not even going to say where it is, that apologizes for the historical mistreatment of minorities. There was a guy on Facebook that, and I'm not sure why he did it. He's a friend of mine. I've known him for a long, long time. And I'm not sure why he said this. I don't know if he was being facetious or what. But he come on there and said, well, and as long as I'm at it, I might as well apologize for, you know, the mistreatment of the Indians, of the Native American Indians here. And I said, you know what? I disagree. If anybody wanted to apologize, they should have done it 200 and some odd years ago. I wasn't there. To best of my knowledge, none of my family was there. It happened a long, long time ago. And no, I am absolutely not apologizing for anything. Our country does not owe them an apology. No particular state or government of any size owes them an apology. So that's the way I feel about it, man. You know, I'm all for Trump here, and I have not been groped by Trump. But I have been screwed by Obama. So I'm ready to change here. All right. Well, we're getting close enough here. I want to just remind everybody of our classes coming up. Let me check the chat room, see what's going on here. Peanut Rider says the track was sabotaged. I remember that. That was what was the name of that group? The Vipers, I think. Arizona Vipers or Phoenix Vipers or some kind of Viper that did that. Damage there in the 90s. I remember that very clearly. The Vipers are still, as far as I know, I think there's still some of them active around here. That really, Yakima Glock, you haven't been groped by Trump either. And it's really odd that I know, and I've heard through confidential sources, that you've been screwed by Obama too. What a coincidence that is. Peanut Rider, I don't know for sure whether anybody was charged in that particular incident or not, but I do know that there has been several people from that group arrested. Now, maybe it was for different events. I don't remember, but they have taken quite a bit of that group down here. I don't know, probably 6, 8, 10 years ago, something like that. I've got some stuff coming up here on Saturday that I might be able to share with you Monday. I hope so. And that will be, I'll be discussing some things with Sheriff Mack here, in the next couple of days. So at least some of that I'll be able to share with you on Monday, and I think you'll find it very, very interesting what we're doing here. Okay, well, I'm going to get on out of here, and I'll see you guys Friday for Liberty Lounge. This Friday should be 100%, as long as we don't have computer problems, it should be okay. Everything ought to be good. Liberty Lounge should go on as scheduled. The following Friday may or may not, because I will be teaching that class up in New Mexico. We'll see what our accommodations are and what time we get done. I believe that we probably can go ahead and do it. I also believe that I will not do the first hour. This will be on Friday, October 28th. We'll do Liberty Lounge as normal. I do not intend to do the first hour that night. It will be a two-hour show from 8 to 10 Pacific time. We'll throw in whatever little bit of commentary we feel like we need to, but the first hour will not be happening on Friday. So, DeTinker, if you're still awake and listening, and you want to use that that hour, then feel free. But Liberty Lounge will go on as normal. Okay. Yeah, Radio Doc, we have had a blast. We've done so many shows. I have no idea how many shows I've done out on the road, but dozens of them. And we've had so much fun on some of these. I have literally, I don't know how many I've done, literally sitting in my pickup, finding some place where I could pirate some Wi-Fi or using the data on my air card, that I have set there behind the wheel of my truck with a computer sitting on the seat beside me, and done a radio show that sounded, you know, as good as anyone that I did sitting at the house here. I've done them from motels, I've done them from bars, I've done them from restaurants, I've done them sitting on the side of the road, roadside parks, gas stations, truck stops, to a convenience store in St. Louis, and it's been a lot of fun, and I will do that again as many times as we need to while we're traveling. All right, good night all, see you Friday. Thanks for joining me.
Well, that wraps up another edition of The Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for The Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me. No explanation, no reconciliation.